You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. If you are looking for a mentor this year that will really help facilitate the next level of potency in your leadership and in your erotic alchemy process, which just means learning how to amplify, transmute, and shift energies that sometimes can feel stagnant or heavy or challenging or contracting, and you want to turn them essentially into erotic electrifying turn on, and you want to play right at that edge that I like to call the erotic edge, then I highly recommend checking out my new program. It's a mentorship for my one-on-one clients that is all about us learning to become masters of Eros, learning how to work with the seasons of death and winter and loss and turn them into something, you know, from something that depletes us into something that fuels us. And so I highly, highly recommend checking out the page. It's nadiamunla.com/erotic edge. We've got a couple of different options for you. We have the way that I love to work is a 6-month container always. It's tried, tested, and true. I've been doing it for 9 years. And then there's also a 3-month container. If you are someone who likes to take everything and compact it a little bit more, if you're really working on going into an in-depth immersion over a smaller amount of time, if you don't have the space to go to sort of pull it out and do it over 6 months, then, you know, this 3-month package could be an option for you as well. In both cases, you get Voxer support from me. In both cases, you get the option to do a 2-day in-person erotic movement immersion with me, which also can be done online virtually on Zoom if you're someone who cannot travel, but you really want to do this. So there are so many options, but this is a combination of sort of traditional life coaching calls combined with an in-person immersion combined with in-between call support. So really it's the full, what do they call it? The full enchilada, ladies. So reach out, take a look at the site. And if you have any questions, you know where to find me. There's a direct link to apply there. That's always the best way to get on an exploration call with me where we really get a sense of whether it's a fit or not. Because in this particular program, I only take a handful of people a year. So I always love to hop on the phone and make sure that this is going to be a situation that's like win-win-win, where there's going to be magic and fireworks, and it's going to be the best decision for you. All right. So I hope to talk to you soon. Today, you are listening to a coaching episode. In these episodes, you get a little peek into what is normally a private space, my one-on-one coaching practice. This really gives you a glimpse into what it's like to be guided and held by me, and will hopefully leave you with some key aha moments. Everyone who is coached here in these episodes has consented to publicizing these sessions and remains anonymous for the sake of confidentiality.
I'm just taking a few breaths to let it come to you if it hasn't already. And then when it does, just speaking it into the space, like what is starting to show up for you as you look inside?
There's a sense of fullness that in some ways feels like a dam that, or a body of water that is like a deep, deep lagoon, but also so full that it's going to break the banks. And like that quality that my boobs or my chest gets just before a period, right, where it's like so full and so heavy and so kind of lush and fertile and fecund, but also uncomfortable at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's this sensation within me that I want to like simultaneously enjoy the dewy, milky, deep viridian, like this, just this so bright and full and like rich and magical, and at the same time it feels uncomfortable to be still. It wants to do something, and yet I don't want to, and there's nowhere to go, and it's frustrating, and I feel like that's a really interesting metaphor for a pattern that often comes in my life and is playing out in my life. And I really feel like I've been doing something different. Mm-hmm. But the doing something different isn't working either, so that.
Can you speak a little bit more to how this connects to a pattern that you're seeing?
So I see it in work where there's a, like, I have 100 ideas and I get to kind of the ovulation or the mid part of my month and I'm on track and it feels good. And I'm still heavily optimistic that I can achieve all of the things that I want to do. And then there's this point in between, like just after ovulation, where everything changes for me. And all of a sudden the pessimist arrives and she's like, listen, you do not have the bandwidth or the capacity to do the things that, like, to do everything that you want to do. You're going to have to prioritize. And then there's like a rebel in me that's like, no, watch me, I can. And then it's like a race against time for myself to see how much, and like a young part of me tries to get everything done and a wiser part of me is kind of monitoring and pulling things back so that the right things happen. And more or less, I have a handle on it in my work life. Like, it feels safe to talk to you about it there. In my romantic life or in my kind of places of edgy intimacy, the same pattern plays out. And in that area of my life, it looks like, come closer, go away, touch me, don't touch me. It's a really like, show me more, I'm going to show you more of you and of me, sorry, and simultaneously, like, don't look at me. Does that make any sense?
And what parts of the cycle is the part where you push away, and what part is the part where you ask, come closer?
They both happen at the same time, and it's the same part of my cycle, right? It's like just post ovulation. As I move, like, so specifically days 22 to 24, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know who I am anymore. I feel like overnight I change from one person into a different person. And I simultaneously want to be like incredibly close and also don't touch me. And so I often describe this time in my cycle as baby bird versus eagle, because on the inside I'm a baby bird, but apparently on the outside I'm behaving like an eagle. And like I said, I feel okay with that. And I've learned how to communicate in my work life in a way that is boundaried but not hard. And in my intimate life, it's messy and I'm not very good at it.
So are you in this moment, are you dating different people? Are you seeing a particular person? Like, I'm just trying to get into some nitty-gritty details so that we can find an example to work with.
At this point in my life, somebody who I have known for a very long time, and the timing has never been 100% right for one or other of us, is back in my world, and theoretically the time is not right for either of us. We're in different parts of the world, and we have different things going on and different commitments. And we've reached a level of kind of maturity and communication that means that we've both really clear that it is something that we want long term.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's going to be a somewhere between 9 months and a year where we're not going to be in the same place at the same time.
Mm.
And so the discussion has been that there can like that it can be open up until that point, and that mm-hmm. we will communicate with one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's wonderful and terrifying.
Of course. I really understand that. It's a risk, right? It's there's so much uncertainty, and with that comes a need to have faith, which is hard. It can be very challenging in areas of our lives that challenge us. So I want to come back to this pattern, the baby bird and the eagle. How is that playing out with the two of you? Is there a recent example you can think of where you were somewhere between day 22 to day 24 and you had these opposing push-pull forces inside of you and something sort of played out?
Yeah. So so that trust piece, it's hard and really leaning into and trying not to listen to people around me who say what you're doing is crazy or this doesn't make any sense or any of those things, because deep within me I know that I want to be committed to this and see it out, even if it's different and doesn't make sense. And the wanting contact but then not getting it when I want has been really frustrating. And so on day 22, day 23 of my cycle this month, I communicated a boundary where I said, listen, we need a break. We need us to not speak to each other for a little while, for you to get on with stuff and for me to not be in a state of longing that's upsetting me, because I'm doing a thing where I want something I can't have and I'm going around in circles. And so this is going to be better for both of us. And then about 2 days later, I've changed my mind.
Right.
And I don't want that anymore. And I want it back, even if it was awful. I want it back. And he's holding the boundary, and so not reading or replying to anything. And I feel like I was in control of this decision, and it's not okay for me to change my mind. And that kind of back and forth energy, I realized must also be really difficult for the other person. And so then I beat myself up for my inconsistency. And that's where I end up in this kind of push-pull of like, am I spiky or am I soft? Am I a grown-up or am I a child?
Right. Okay, so let's start with what you truly want. And what I heard, just reflecting back to you, you seemed really clear that you want to see this through.
I do.
So the deep knowing, the ultimate like your higher self, essence, whatever we want to call this part of you, but the wise, deep knowing part of you knows that this is a journey to take with this person. Okay. So that's the deepest desire, is to be in this.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because we need to start there to know what we're working towards, right? And so I'm hearing that there's an ultimate desire to see this through. And there is this wobbling that starts to happen, the doubt that comes in day 22, 23, et cetera, where the response is to that doubt or to not receiving, you know, the fullness of, you know, because there's distance or because whatever's going on, there's that you're not actually getting what you need. There's this response of, okay, I think we need to just problem solve this. And the way to do it is I think we should just like not talk. And right. So like the problem solver comes on, the eagle, so to speak, shows up and goes, all right, how do I handle this so that I fix it?
Yeah, fully, 100%.
Yeah. And the fixer comes on, right? Like the eagle really has this sort of masculine doer, fixer, problem solver energy, which is awesome, right? For a lot of things, right? We're not hating that part of ourselves. We love this part of ourselves. It's what makes us great business owners as well. And what starts to happen is there's this internal battle, it's sounding like, where there's your feminine really starts to come online to the max around day 22, because, you know, that's when we all know all the hormones start to shift and we go soft. We just get mushy, mushy, mushy around that time. Yeah. And that can be really scary for the eagle, because the eagle's just like, what the fuck? You got to fix this, got to do something. You know, why are there so many feelings? These feelings are uncomfortable. I need to change the feelings. Mm-hmm. So what are the feelings when you think back to right before you said, hey, I think we need to take some space? Like, what was the feeling that triggered that?
It's quite the opposite. It's, I want closeness. I want more of you. I want to be so close that nobody else has your attention, that I am the only person that has your attention.
Yeah.
And then my way of dealing with that is to be in charge of the no, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just take a moment and be with this sweet, tender part of you that's like, I want all of you. I want all the attention. I want all the love. I just want you to come and, like, I just want to nuzzle into you and just exhale. As a woman who also is very challenged by day 23. /22/24, depending, right? Yeah. Like, it's, I think so many women listening are going to be like, fuck, I know exactly what these two are talking about. It's just this moment where we, all the barriers come down and everything feels like too much. And we just don't know how to be in this, like, melty, soft place, because there is so much tending that we require, so much love. And it's just like, of course, the response is like, okay, fuck you. Go away. Like, it's the protector comes on so strong. And that's the eagle here, right? It comes on, goes, okay, I'm going to make some decisions for everyone so we can fix it. And so perhaps, you know, there's sort of two pieces that are starting to emerge here. And one is around looking at, okay, who else can we bring in when the protector, the eagle, the fixer shows up? Because that's sort of the default. That's the habit, right? We all have that. Oh my gosh, let me tell you, I'm raising my hand. No one can see me, but I am so guilty of this all the time. Right. How do we work with bringing in a different energy, a different archetype, a different persona that comes and tends to the sweet, soft, melty, scared, tired, wanting love baby bird?
You know, the images that I have and the part of me that wants to kind of give myself props really recognizes that one of the things that I do is surround myself by my girlfriends or go and get my nails done. Like today, I went and got both a pedicure and a manicure at the same time. Like, I was really specific. I don't want one after the other. I want them done both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because there's like a level of so much attention on me all at once that's required.
Right.
And there are other ways of getting, there are other ways of like feeling like everyone's preening me. Mm-hmm. And I do have people in my life who are really happy to assist, even if it's not quite the same, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Yes, this piece is great. Always leaning into whatever is around us, whatever support, love, affection, intimacy we can receive, attention, all of that. Beautiful. And the eagle is internal.
Yeah.
And so we also want to bring in an energy that's within you. Mm. A part of you that can, in addition to getting the massages and the mani-pedis and the girls hugging you and taking you out for a girls' night and, you know, all the good stuff. What energy wants to come in that is really nurturing to this baby bird? I mean, when we think about an actual baby bird.
Well, so I was waiting for the right bird to drop and it did. And then it just did all of a sudden. It's like, it's a penguin. Obviously, it's a penguin.
Oh, a penguin. I love it. Yeah.
Because it has to be another bird and it's going to like look after me like I'm an egg, right?
Oh, I love a good penguin. Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about some of the traits of the penguin that for you feel appropriate for this.
That it's a very different quality of protection than the eagle. You know, I think I said before, like, I don't know if I'm spiky or not spiky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the baby bird is still a little spiky with its beak. And, but the penguin feels like solid, but, mm-hmm. and grounded and firm, but there's no, I don't know that I've got the right words, but it's definitely a very different sort of quality of protection. There's no attack.
Yeah.
And it's also not even really defensive. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The image that comes to mind for me also is like I guess it's the wing. I don't know, because they don't really fly, but the like, you know, hands, their arms, their little thingies, they, you know, they're often like covering, right? Like the little baby penguins, mm-hmm. I think. Like, I'm just, I don't have the words for it, but that part where it's like, they literally cuddle the little baby penguins, and that holding, that wrapping around, you know, just feels like there's a quality there that feels so yummy to, you know, day 23 women. Yeah. Bringing in, you know, just noticing, okay, eagle's here. Cool. It's sort of like mama, papa, right? It's like, okay, there's a dad energy, which is good. It's like, okay, let's fix this, you know? And then there's also sort of more of that mama energy that's like, oh, just come here and like nestle up in my lap. Everything's going to be okay. And so there's this internal piece of, okay, cool. And let me notice when the eagle's coming up, not necessarily a bad thing, but also I've noticed in the past that problem solving on day 23 does not usually work. So let's see, maybe we can conjure up a little bit more penguin energy within and see, what do I need? Do I need to just take a bath? Do I need to get back into bed? Like, do I need to also just take care of myself? Like literally soothe myself with my own touch, right? Like these are all things that we've done together. So I know that you know this stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's this external piece other than the sisterhood piece, which I love, that's specific to the relationship with this person.
Yeah.
And so, and my sense is that generally spills out once you've cultivated that penguin energy within. So if you can bring in, the awareness of, okay, I actually need more penguin energy. Then the next step is to be aware enough to be able to express that to them.
Yeah.
And to go, I'm just noticing myself getting into that part of my cycle where I just want so much love. And I just want to be like cuddled and just cradled like a little baby. And speaking to that,
yeah,
really opens the space in a different way. Because one, it gives them an opportunity to rise up and offer something, even with the distance, right? There's ways to offer. It's not going to ever, you know, it may not feel as good as them being right there in front of you, but you know, there's some things that people can do. I'm notorious for long distance relationships. So I know how that works.
Yeah.
And so speaking that need after you're aware that it's happening can really start to liberate and open the space between, like, relationally between the two of you.
I think that's one of the reasons why this particular relationship feels so important to me, and that grounded higher self, deeper self, whichever, knows that I want to do this is because, and you have some awareness of my history, but I am articulating vulnerably the things from a feeling place, and they are being heard, and this feels like massive progress to me. And they physically, not even just physically, like capacity wise, don't have the bandwidth for what I require right now, and are communicating that beautifully as well. And so then I go into this place of, well, it can't be right then. If I'm not getting what I want, Nadia, it can't be right, and I need to leave. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It's like there's this deeper part of me that still doesn't trust myself, even though right at the beginning I said to you, yes, I'm clear, I know. Like in that place of like, if it was meant to be, it would be easy. I would really like that myth to be slayed, please.
Remind me, what is your what's your horoscope? The sun, moon, rising?
Sun, Leo, rising, Sagittarius, moon, Sagittarius.
Ah, okay. For some reason I thought there was like Gemini in there. Never mind. Skip that. Moving on. I do remember Leo though. Yes, I love Leos. So there's a few different pieces. Let me just come back to, you know, there's like some tabs open in my brain. So there's this thing that happens in all of us where, you know, being in our feminine can be really exhausting, right? Because it's a fucking roller coaster, and it's going to be a roller coaster till the end of time. Let's be real. We are going to have cycles. Even with menopause, we're going to have cycles. Like even like just our whole life is going to be very cyclical because we are women. And so we often go into problem solving by being like, I should be more stable, quote unquote. Like I should have more of the same mindset, energy, whatever, like all month long. And even though like you and I know, and we've been doing this work for a while, we know about, you know, feminine cyclical business. We know how to, we track our cycles. Like it's not that we haven't been conscious of this and we're living in like a completely patriarchal normie world. Like, no, we're not. But the level of indoctrination that's so deep in our cells, in our programming, in our way of being, and also like trying to survive in a world that is still asking us every single day to sort of be the same. It's like, we're going to have to shed. It's like a fucking onion. We just keep shedding the layers. And so we're just in a new layer here of acceptance of your cycles. And all of our cycles, because we all have them. And I wonder what it would feel like, and if it might liberate something in you, instead of trying to go, okay, how do I stay a little bit more like even keeled during this time of the month when shit gets a little up and down? Can you instead go into full fucking embrace of it? Here's where the discernment needs to come in, though. It's like full fucking embrace of it in its expression, but not in execution of decisions or making decisions, right? So it's like, okay, fuck, I feel this way. I feel like I want to push you away. I feel so tender. I need more love. This is not satisfying me. I don't feel met. Like, all of these are going to happen if you continue to be in this container and this setup and have a cycle. Like, it's just going to keep happening. And so instead of being like, how do I fix it so that I don't feel that way? Oh, well, one option, of course, you know, the problem solver goes, yeah, just kill the container. Or the other option is like, somehow try to do something with my hormones and my cycles so that I don't feel this way. It's like, well, neither of these two are really things you want.
No. And the other way I'm coping right now is cutting my bangs every day 25 and then regretting it by day four. So that's also not working.
Well, that's an interesting. Okay. Oh my God. It just reminded me, have you seen the, there's this reel that's going around on Instagram where this kid cuts her bangs and then freaks the fuck out.
No, but that is basic. Please send it to me because that is what I've done for the last 4 months. That has been my coping mechanism and it's not going well.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. I have to send it to you. It's so good. All right. Well, right. So, I mean, I love that you brought in a little bit of lightness here because it's when we zoom out, we're like, oh, my God, we're so cute. Like, we're such cute little humans trying to cope and figure it out. And we're all doing this. We are all have our own version of, oh my God, we're trying to do the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wonder what it would feel like in your system to go, all right, you know, oh, let me stop trying to change it. Let me stop trying to fight against my hormones or fight against a container that I clearly want to be in. Right? Knowing that, of course, there's, you know, pros and cons to it. But ultimately, I want to be in this. And instead, how can I shift into just expressing? You know, like if we go back to a very classic guideline in the world of polarity, the feminine, just like the work of the feminine is to express her heart and her feelings moment to moment. And what I love so much about that particular teaching is that it actually liberates us from trying to hold it all together. It allows, it gives so much permission. It says, you know what? You just be you and feel all your feelings, girl. Right? Like that's essentially what this teaching says. Mm. What it does not say, and it does not recommend, is as you're feeling these roller coaster feelings, now make decisions based on it. Because then what happens is the recipient of that, if you're in a relational field, is going to experience so much volatility, which creates lack of safety for them. So then what happens? Their defense mechanisms come online. Their protector comes online. They may have a different way in which, you know, they handle uncertainty and volatility. And so then now you've just, all that's happening is you've got two people trying to survive. The protectors are battling. And it doesn't go well because it's not actually what both people want. And so instead, if you're expressing from this really tender, vulnerable, transparent place, like, fuck, man, I'm noticing myself really feeling needy and wanting attention. And my response to that is just be like, yeah, fuck this all. Like, let's end it. Let's separate. Let's take a break. Let's whatever, you know, the in the moment knee-jerk response might be. Let's problem solve it. And when you bring that into the space, instead of making the decision for the unit, right? It's very different. Still, you're still honoring everything you're feeling. But you're not making the decision. You're just saying, here's what I feel. And then, depending on you guys' dynamic, you know, because each partnership couple is different, right? In terms of how they like to make decisions and what. So either it's going to be a situation where you want the other person to lead and make that decision, right? Because they're holding more of a masculine pole, or you're coming together to make the decision, but you land on it together instead of you pushing it out onto them.
Yeah.
Right. Because put yourself in their shoes, right? They're like, okay, what? Like, that just happened. I just suddenly, a decision was asserted on me. And then, of course, a few days later, if that shifts, like, that person's system is not going to feel safe to be like, wait, what? I don't know where to land here, you know? And so, of course, their stuff's going to come up, which then doesn't serve anyone, definitely not the union. Mm-hmm. And then you add on long distance, which makes the whole thing just difficult on its own, right? It just makes it a little bit harder. So let me just check in. I know I just did a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
How's this landing?
I can really see that the place of decision making, there is some, I don't know what the word is, like, so I can see that with us, I am getting much better at expressing without, like, expressing into the container and expressing from a place of, what do we do about this?
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a part of me that either wants them to make the decision so that I can push against it, or wants to make the decision, but then really struggles with the decision. Like, I know it's the grown-up thing to do. I know it's the right thing to do, but I hate it. And this is not the
only. What is the grown-up thing to do? I just want to make sure I'm understanding that right.
Well, and also the kind of the grown-up thing to do, the mature thing to do, is to, when often in my business as well, there are times when I know what the right thing for the business is, or I know what the right thing is, and I still hate it.
Right. So,
like, I'm not, like, you know, I know that I need to not spend money on anything else fun this month, because otherwise we'll sink the ship.
Right.
But I hate it.
Right? Sure.
And so in this relationship, it's like, I know we need some space. And to not communicate for a little while, to kind of reset, and that we have an agreement on what that is, but I hate it. And I will then essentially kind of throw a tantrum, and not at the other person, just generally in life. And I'm not comfortable with my own tantruming. I really still try and control the tantruming me.
So do you really feel that space, though, was the right thing and or is the right thing?
Yes and no. Like, it's not what I want, but given the capacity, like, given what he has to offer,
mm-hmm.
it's necessary
mm-hmm.
for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do, yeah, because otherwise what happens is I end up feeling ignored, because mm-hmm. he doesn't have the time or the space or the capacity to give me the attention and the quality of attention that I want. And where it there is, where I don't have that, like mm-hmm. it just feels like I'm being ignored. And so I would rather have him say, listen, I don't have capacity to give you what you need from now until then.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to go, yeah, cool, okay, well, that feels grown up, but but I hate it. Go on, what were you gonna say?
Well, just notice that there you said you want him to make that decision.
Mm.
And unless I misunderstood something, it sounded like in this cycle, it was you who went, we need space.
Yeah, because he won't make the decision.
Well, that's a whole nother layer. Which is, I mean, everything's layered, right? It's like relating. It's not going to be just be one dynamic. There's like 7,000 things happening in every moment. So I want to like put a little like bookmark there for a moment on that, because that's another piece. And just see if we like, have we completed with what we had been working with? I just want to check in and see, does it feel clear, this distinction between accepting, permitting, and allowing, and then expressing everything you're feeling without then executing on it necessarily, and how that can really actually create a lot more safety in the relationship and in the field. Is there anything else in that, like around the eagle penguin piece, that feels incomplete that we need to look at?
No, I feel good about that. I feel like I can see that there's, I would love more opportunities to practice that, because it is still new for me, and it still often feels very vulnerable to express that, the emotion in its raw form without having processed it into something palatable.
Yeah, and of course, this is why this dynamic is so transformative for you. I mean, we always pick those relationships that will do that, right? And so if there is this suspicion, let's say, that like, oh, well, he might not be able to meet me there. Like if I am vulnerable about, I need this much love, I need this much attention. And you know the context that, like, well, he's in this place, and for whatever reason, you know, he might not be able to fully meet me at the level of attention I need. It's, of course, we'll take it up a notch in terms of how advanced of a practice this is, right? From oh, okay, well, I'm okay, I'll just be better at like showing my feelings, which is hard for anyone. But it's like, oh, now I'm going to go first, essentially. I'm going to show my feelings, even though I know that there's a possibility that he may not meet me there. That's like, ooh, but it's also masterful.
Thanks. And I'd like to be fair on him and the situation. He has met me at every place and said, bring more. It's beautiful. I love it. It's great. Like, you know, if there's more of you, I have capacity. When he's able to, like when he's present, when we're in the same space, right? It's kind of magic, and not something I ever believed was possible for me. I didn't think I would ever meet another human could witness my range and not run.
Yeah. So beautiful. So healing. Such a beautiful thing. So is it just that right now there's a particular like time pressure, stressor, deadline, work situation, something else, but something that has him unable to give as much as he normally is able to give?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So it's a limited time situation. It's not like an ongoing dynamic.
It's a limited time situation, but I have to believe that he's not going to find another thing and another thing and another thing. Like that's the piece. It's like, I'm willing to believe him right up until I'm not.
Yep. The faith is being tested. Got it. Which of course is going to make it more, the knee-jerk response even stronger. The protector shows up more. The eagle's like, oh, we're going to do this thing. This is just easier. While we're pausing, it's not going to hurt me as much if I don't feel met, right?
And there's that bit, and I hear this all the time, right? Like, you need to honor their purpose. And I do honor his purpose, and I know why he's doing what he's doing, and I'm 100% behind what he's doing. And I hate being so far down the priority list. It sucks.
To continue on the theme of expressing yourself, my sense is that it could be really helpful to bring to him all of this. Hey, I want to champion your purpose. I want to stand as, you know, that woman who stands behind her man as he conquers the world, you know, all that good stuff. And my set of needs in the feminine is that I need to feel loved. And this need shows up extra hardcore on day 22 to day 24. I'm just letting you know that that's the situation, right? Again, you're not demanding anything particular. You're not coming up with a solution. You're not saying, here's what I would like you to do. It's just like, hey, just be aware. Those are the days when I'm the neediest. And maybe that gives, it just opens up an opportunity for him to be like, oh, okay. Sometimes like, it could be as simple as that. And they're like, oh, okay. And they'll it's so sweet. Like they'll mark it in their calendar or something. And then like, just do a little extra on those days or just be aware. Oh, okay. She's been a little noticing a shift in her energy today. Let me check where she's in her cycle. Like there's just some really sweet things that can support you in the process of you moving through these different, you know, days and energies. But just letting him know. Yeah. And I think that that will slowly help solidify the faith and trust piece. But that's part of increasing your capacity for it, is going, all right, I'm just going to give my heart, give the information, and then breathe and wait. And that waiting is the hardest part, because it's the moment where the problem solver wants to come in and be like, let me fix it, let me fill the space, let me do this, let me do that, let me da da da. It's like, no, just wait and see.
Yeah, that's that is my work right now.
Oh, I get it. Waiting is my least favorite thing in the world.
And there's a difference for me between waiting, right? Mm. Like waiting and holding my breath. And being like, is this over yet? I've been really patient. Look at me.
Yeah, well, because holding our breath is actually projecting into the future.
I do it so frequently, and it's so, it's like I'm aware of it. I'm really working on it, and I catch myself so often, you know, as a manifesting generator, waiting and breathing sucks.
Mm. Yeah. I gotta tell you, it's not just the Manny Gen thing. I'm pretty sure all of us are like, okay, one more breath and then I'm gonna handle it. But it's one breath at a time, right? Like that waiting, it's like, okay, just one more breath. Okay, now one more. Because there is such a response to go handle it. And it's just a way in which we go, assume, we move into the future, we assume we know what's going to happen, and then we come back to the present to try to either change the future, protect ourselves from the future, right? Like, but the point is we are ejecting out of the present moment.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening when we think about it. And so what would it feel like to move through this in a different way, by going, all right, one more breath where I'll be here right now, where I'm not going to assume and presume, where I'm not going to project my history onto the future, and where I'm just going to go, with every breath, it can be different. It's the deepest fucking practice. I hate it more than anything. I have to do it all the time. I hate it. So I just want to acknowledge, I'm not suggesting this is a walk in the park by any means. It is literally one of the hardest things to do, because doing for us highly functioning, you know, high achiever type entrepreneurial women, it's easy for us to go do, fix, solve, problem solve, action. It's not so easy to go, I'm going to try to stay in this moment and not project all my previous heartbreaks into the future on this person who's standing in front of me, who seems to be possibly doing the same thing that the last 100 people did. But it's actually the only way to create a different future, is to be in the moment. It's just all we can do.
Yeah, something just landed. So thank you. Great.
Yeah. Ah, relationships. The deepest container of personal development, for sure. Not even a question. Ah. Well, I'm glad something clicked in.
Oh, that's cool. I'm just going to share, it's that piece around, like, I always think I'll own it, that the next level is going to be like such a different place. That it's like the leap in growth or understanding will take us somewhere completely new. I don't know why I always think that. And then I kind of just have that aha of like, oh no, this is different. It's just subtly so. Right. And I can see the subtleties. I can feel the subtleties in my body. And it is different. Yeah. It's not the same old thing over and over again. Like, this is different. It's just so close to before. But if I'm not slowing down enough to be present with it, then I can't see that it is different.
Yeah. Subtlety. That's it.
Yeah, which removes that layer of me beating myself up because I'm not learning anything, right?
Oh, it's like... So much shifting for you. Yeah. It's in the micro decisions, right? We know that. We just have to remind ourselves. The big ripple effect, the big transformation happens in the micro decisions.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And you're doing it beautifully.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show. And I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram @NadiaMunla.